Lord Jesus, we've sung your name is above all other names. And at your feet we bow this morning and ask that by the power of your Spirit you will speak to us as we look at your word and at you, the word of God. And in your name we pray. Amen. Please do be seated. Just thought to myself, what haven't I done? I've completely forgot to light the car boot candle. Please do pray for John Shaw and Rob Collett, just the two of them today, down at the Sanctuary Car Boot. I know they would value our prayers because it was extremely, it wasn't that cold, but it was a bit damp and a bit dismal when we loaded up the car this morning. So imagine the green candle here. Do please remember them in prayer throughout our service as they take the love of Jesus down to the Portman Road car boot. And if you're interested in helping, getting in this advert, then do talk to me afterwards, because I know Jim, who goes the other fortnight, would value some more help down there. So, Rob, can we have the pictures on the screen, please? You've seen this. I did put this up before the end of 2016. And this is what the first part, well, first 4 months, hold for us here at St. Matthew's. But first of all, I should say a very happy new year. I did say it last week, but a happy new year to those of you I haven't seen. I wonder what God has got in store for you this new year and what God has got in store for us, his church, here at St. Matthew's, let alone this part of Ipswich for this new year. Well, as you can see, we're starting a new series today. Privileged to kick it off, and as you can see from the middle part of that slide on the screen, we have a mission weekend, 28th to 30th of April. It's on the new sheet as well. Please bandy this around. We've not planned that much as yet of what we're going to be doing, but plans are in place. I'm wondering whether home groups might like to consider doing something that weekend. Coffee morning, a lunch shared, inviting people in, which the Bishop or Dave Gardner will come along and support us and maybe do a brief talk at as well. And if you're not very confident about talking about Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but you can see on the right-hand side, two evenings here at St. Matt's in that little booklet, which is free to take away, as Andrew advertised at the beginning of the service. Two evenings, J. John's course condensed from 6 to 2. Put that in your diary. Come along and be encouraged as we get a bit more confident about talking about Jesus, not just together here in church, but outside in the world as well. But as I said, today we begin our series. Thank you, Rob. Hopefully, should be another picture. Yes, based around the booklet that we're going to be studying in home groups, Whole Life for Christ, not just what we do in church, but the whole of life for Jesus. Your life, that is, if Jesus is Lord of your life. Our life as a church, because I believe he's Lord of this church. And I want Jesus to be Lord of this church. And I hope you can nod away with me and say you agree. At this place, at this time, for whatever God has in store for us. I hope you're behind me in that. And we think too in this Whole Life for Christ new series, thank you Rob, about front lines. I've just Googled a few front lines, there we are, corporations and other things. Front line is not just something the church has grabbed, but something that is very much part of, well, I don't know, common life. Just Google it and you'll see what I mean. Look under images and there are a few. But it's our front line as Christians where you'll find yourself tomorrow. However far you have to journey, it's our children, our youth's front lines as well, wherever they find themselves. And I think Harry's going to be talking to the youth about our series as we follow it through as well. Tim Chester, who has written certain things, says, following Jesus is easy on a Sunday morning when everyone around us is singing his praises and listening to his word. But what about Monday morning? What does it mean to follow Jesus in your office, in your school, in your home, in your neighbourhood? Just sit as you sit there listening to me, maybe you haven't switched off yet, I hope. Think about what that means for you tomorrow morning, where you'll find yourself. And we're going to explore over these next few weeks certain whole life titles, and today is Whole Life Gospel. That is the good news. What it means to live the whole of life, not just an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, for Jesus. Thank you, Rob. That's great. Let's leave that one up there for me. There's going to be no berating from the lectern, I trust. Well, I'm not going to do any of that. But I hope you'll be inspired when you set out into a new week with the possibilities and also the resources that are ours in Jesus. Could it be, and it's a question, that our lives are about to get that much more exciting as we follow Jesus into places and to people where he wants us to shine and witness for him? Could it be? I throw that question out for you, because only you are going to journey to your front line, whatever that is, tomorrow. So as I said, today we begin with Whole Life Gospel. We're going to consider a passage, and if you've got a Bible, I've dotted a few around. If you want a Bible, there's some more at the back. I'm going to be taking us through some passages in these next 3 hours. No, I'm not. In the next 20 to 25 minutes. And looking at a few crucial passages about Jesus and his supremacy that Linda and Jim have read to us about already. The Colossians chapter 1 passage, if you can find it there in the New Testament, is a crucial passage for us and our understanding of who Jesus is and what he means to those who turn their lives over to him as Lord and King. So my first question is, have you done that this new year? I leave that question hanging, because only you, between you and God, can answer that. It's a wonderful opening theme to look at, and we're in our home group this week, and I'm sure other home groups will be looking at this theme during the coming week. It's a wonderful theme to open with, especially as we look towards our mission, 28th to 30th of April. You'll hear a lot about that with Bishop Mike and Dave Gardner, our Dawson Mission Advisor. What is the gospel that we proclaim? Who is it about? Do you know? Well, that's the question. Look at with me this Colossians passage, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, which Linda read to us. Thank you, Rob. There should be two pictures. There are a couple of pictures showing you what's left of Colossae, however you pronounce it, the ruins, and whereabouts it is on the map of the world as we have it today and then. At that time, very briefly, there was a heresy in Colossae, whatever you want to pronounce it. Commentators enjoy talking about it, as they do in the books they write. But what we can say most of all is that it diminished the person of Jesus. Heaven forbid we do that today. But that's what was happening then. So what does Paul do? He doesn't major on the heresy, notice, and it's a quick read, Colossians. I have a read of it later today. He encourages his readers to see how great Jesus is. That's where he focuses. So I say to myself and to each of us, make much of Jesus. If you can click once, Rob, that should come up on the screen. Yes, make much of Jesus in your life. You might not be talking about Jesus to everybody you come into contact with, but if you want to live for him, make much of it. Fill your life with him and get him where he ought to be in your life, and dare I say mine, right at the center. Thank you, Rob, that's brilliant. Put Jesus at the center. Make much of Jesus. Put Jesus at the center. That's what Paul focused on. He didn't focus on the heresy. He lifted Jesus high. So the question to us all is Jesus your sovereign Lord? Notice the word sovereign. That means over all things this morning. Because Jesus needs followers in 2017 who believe he is Lord and live in the light of that fact. So do we. Thanks, Rob. Samuel Coleridge, I should have said, guess who that was, shouldn't I? But I've given the game away now. He once wrote these words: "The Hebrew wisdom asserts an unbeginning creative one who neither became the world nor is the world eternally, nor made the world out of himself by emanation or evolution, but willed it and it was." When God willed creation, that's why I asked Jim to read those few verses from John 1. When God willed creation with a word, that word was actually a person. Capital W, Jesus, in John chapter 1. Do read it again. And what a word that was and is. Psalm 33 verse 6 reads, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth." Can we comprehend that? I want us to try to begin to, as we put Jesus, enthrone him afresh in our lives and in our church in 2017. John 1, we heard a bit earlier. Do read it again. To capture a glimpse, and this is a brief kind of example, to capture a glimpse of the creative power of that word, Jesus himself, let's take an imaginary trip, quick trip, dare I add, across the universe. Hence I said quick, okay? Having said that, I personally don't believe that we'll find any aliens there, but here we go. Thank you, Rob. Our spacecraft will travel fast at the speed of light, and this I got these facts from books. So if you're a scientist or a cosmologist, forgive me, but this is what I got from a book. 186,000 miles per second. How fast is that? Try and imagine. Well, to start, we pass the moon just 1.3 seconds after blastoff. Try and imagine that. Travelling at 660 million miles per hour. I've not done that down the A14. We leave our solar system in only 5 hours. Scientists tell us that on our journey, it'll be 4 years before we pass Earth's nearest star. Thank you, Rob. We arrive at a new star every 5 years, going at that speed. In the Milky Way, there are apparently 100 billion stars, possibly even double, triple even that number. If we travel, thank you, Rob, across our galaxy in a straight line from Earth, that is, it'll take 8,000 years of travel. And now the trip really begins. Once out of our galaxy, it requires 2 million years, if that we believe that exists, just to reach our nearest neighbouring galaxy. And galaxies come in groups. And I'm not talking about chocolate here. Galaxies come in groups. And each galaxy has roughly 17 separate galaxies, each with 100 billion stars. Thank you, Rob. Is your mind blown yet? Mine was yonks ago. When our trip is completed, we're told that we will have passed some 100 octillion stars. All I can say there is, oh, what a word it was that spoke that into being. Capital W, oh, what a word. Genesis says, and he made the stars also. Amazing, isn't it, really, when we think about it? What a God we worship, as the group have led us, as they will lead us later on. Do we truly comprehend who it is that we gather to worship today and who it is that we point people to? Thank you, Rob. I've just left a pause so you can get your mind out of the galaxies because it just blows my mind completely. If we have the next slide, please, Rob. It's in John's Revelation, and if you've got a Bible, do turn to Revelation chapter 19, because I'm going to whiz us through that at 660 million miles an hour. Not quite, but it's in Revelation that we're introduced to Christ as the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19. John's observation is especially significant because this single chapter highlights, I've spotted myself, no less than 10 names used to describe our Lord Jesus, in addition to the name of Jesus. Look with me as I flick through this chapter now. Verse 1, the Lord our God. I looked at a different translation. Verse 6, the Lord God omnipotent. Verse 7 and 9, the Lamb, capital L. Verse 11, faithful. Verse 11, true. Verse 13, the Word, capital W, of God. Verse 15, the Almighty God. Verse 16, King of Kings. Verse 16 again, Lord of Lords. We rattle that off, but that's our Jesus we're talking about. Verse 17, the Great God. Central to these is the Word being God's expression of all he is, a declaration of all his will and his works. John 1, which Jim read to us earlier, says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Without him, that means God is in control of everything. Everything that's been made has been made through him. The significance of those words is huge. It's enormous. When we pray in faith the promises of God, when we speak what God's word says and declare its truth in a situation on your front line maybe, I hope and trust that we believe that there is in fact a creative potential present in that situation, even if it's a problem. Not from us, of course, but through the Word, the person of Jesus, whom we seek to follow and trust. Thank you, Robin. Put the next slide up, which should just be that verse, hopefully, I've mentioned. Just focus on that verse as I carry on. Because on your front line, whatever this good or bad situation might be, although Jesus longs to breathe his creative power into our day, we have to understand that he often chooses to work his creating through us, his creatures. And isn't that staggering, if you're as much a failure as I am? We have a gospel to proclaim, and God will use our words and our work on our front lines to bring about his purpose. And that is staggering too. Today, for example, we can create a climate of love wherever we go by allowing God to use us to carry his creative word, capital W, his creative word of love, that is Jesus, to those in need, for example. Do pray as the Suffolk refugees, those families who've come to Ipswich, meet weekly here for 3 hours on a Thursday. Isn't that brilliant? They're using our building. Those in need. And likewise, we can bring a creative word of joy, for example, to those held captive by fear or despair or whatever that might be. To take Jesus' name into our day-to-day, onto our front lines, is to take the living word. Not something that's gone and passed, but the living word. Jesus himself. For example, as Isaiah says, to him who is weary. I'm sure you'll meet those who are weary. January is that kind of month, isn't it? The sad month. Will be the living Jesus to them where you find yourself this week. Thank you, Rob. You can switch to my next one. We'll get a clicker one of these days that works, so I don't have to say thank you, Rob, or thank you, Phil. But not only does this word create this Jesus, it sustains what it has created. Scriptures tell us that Jesus is the one upholding all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. And that it is in Jesus, in Christ, that all things are held together. Don't believe what the media tell you. All things hold together as they are now and will do until Jesus comes again. In other words, what Jesus has called into being, he is able to maintain. And although the New Testament does tell us the heavens and the earth ultimately will pass away and that a new heaven and a new earth will be created, it is a fact that creation still now exists in its present state because Jesus has not withdrawn his creative word. That's why it's not chaos everywhere. Think of it, a new creation where righteousness dwells. What'll it be like, I wonder? Have a think. Hard to imagine, isn't it, in our fallen, dark world, where as we look at the news 24 hours a day, and yes, we have to say it's a fallen, dark world. And yet, in this dark world, people need to see the light, and that of heaven. And that's up to you and me, folks, as staggering as that may be. We should set our hearts on heaven, where Jesus is, and let his light shine from us to attract others to him and to trust him. Here we go again. Our April mission gives us an opportunity, each one of us, and the children will be involved in this, to pray for those we want to come to know and follow Jesus. And then invite them to something that will be laid on that weekend. Put that date in your diary. So many need to know of the crucified Creator's love. We're not going to sing it today, but a song sometimes we sing, "Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered." That's our message. Thank you, Rob. I'm sure many of us have heard the story, but I'm going to repeat it, about the little girl who was colouring a picture in her Sunday school class. She told the teacher that, "I'm colouring a picture of God." The teacher said, didn't quite really know how to respond to that. She said, "Sweetheart, you can't really draw a picture of God because nobody really knows what he looks like, and you know what I'm going to say." The little girl didn't bat an eyelid, but just said, "Well, they will done when I've done this picture." Well, how many times, thank you, Rob, do we paint a picture of God based on what we think he ought to look like, rather than what he is really like? How many times do we make Jesus out to be something that he really isn't? There are still many people in our nation who will tell you they believe in God, but have no idea who he really is or who Jesus is. Ask someone, "Who is Jesus to you?" And you'll be amazed at some of the responses that you'll get. He's a great teacher. He's a great prophet. A good example for us to follow. Others will talk about what a good person they are, on the whole. What church they're a member of. When they were baptized, maybe. All their good deeds, the charity work they do. Some might tell you how much better they are than all those hypocritical people that go to church. But the question has been dodged. Who is Jesus to you? And that's my question to us as we journey into this new year. In our passage, Paul answers that question for the church at Colossae. One of Paul's disciples, Epaphras, probably planted the Colossian church while Paul was at Ephesus. Epaphras was saved in Ephesus and immediately went to Colossae and planted the church there. And the church there did very well, as I mentioned earlier. And you know what happens when a church does very well? Well, Satan attacks it. And it turns out that he attacked the Colossian church by bringing in that false teaching or heresy I mentioned earlier about Jesus. And it was so bad that Epaphras went to Paul while he was in prison in Rome for help. Paul wrote this letter to remind them of who Jesus is. Do read Colossians this week. If you forget everything else I've said, read Colossians and be encouraged. That's what I want this morning to be about. I want us to be reminded of who Jesus is, to be excited by this Creator's desire to know us. Think about those millions of miles we travelled in a few seconds. That Creator's desire to know you and me personally. And then for us God willing, to make him known. We looked at Revelation 19. Just before I close, if you can turn to Hebrews chapter 1, if you've got a Bible near you, it's towards the back of the Bible. I haven't got a page number, but never mind. Another wonderful passage, Hebrews 1, proclaiming who Jesus is. He's not a chip off the old block, as though there were many such, but he is the unique Son of God. Look at him, and it's like looking in a mirror at God himself. His character exactly reproduced, plain as plain to see. When you think that in the ancient world, engraving or stamping of some kind, soft or hot metal with a pattern or the emperor's image on a coin, was commonplace, I think that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to express. Bishop Tom Wright says that it's though the very imprint of the Father, the imprint of the Father's nature and glory, has been reproduced in the soft metal of the Son's nature, there for all the world to see. You see, whoever the writer to Hebrews was, he had his eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Are we too up for that challenge to keep our eyes firmly fixed on him in 2017? I trust we are. As creatures, and I threw that bit about space in earlier just to blow our minds, but we can never fathom God. If somebody tells you they have, well, don't believe them. We can't fully comprehend the enormity of what Jesus came to do that first Christmas. His crucifixion was not merely the martyrdom of a good man. It was incredibly the heir of the universe, the firstborn of all creation, dying in the form of one of his creatures to win back what was already his by creation right. Doesn't that make you want to stop and wonder and worship Jesus? I've got two prayers on the screen. I'm going to invite you to join in with me. Thank you, Rob. This one and the next one, please do, if you feel you can, pray these words with me. From Bethlehem to Bethany, from Jerusalem to Jericho, from Capernaum to Calvary, from Golgotha to the grave, from heaven to hell and back again, we thank you that you did all this for us. Jesus said, I am the life, receive me. Jesus said, I am the truth, believe me. Jesus said, I am the way, follow me. Help us, Lord, to do just that in your strength and for your glory. Amen. And as we sit, I'll pray for us as we begin this new series, and as we think of the gospel we have to proclaim, that is Jesus, the supreme and sovereign one. Lord God, what a joy to know that Christ is Lord of all things, that in all things he is fulfilling his purposes, that he empowers us for every situation, that in all things we do we can serve him, and that in all things and in every place he is with us, those who trust him. And in his glorious name we give you thanks and praise. Amen.